have a quorum. Board members, Dr. Fletcher, Bishop Thomas, Mrs. Robinson, and Mrs. Comacheese, as well as our head of school, Dr. Marinucci, Mrs. Bacu, Mrs. Hudson, and is Mr. Hudson behind you?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. And Mr. Hudson as well. So we are now on the record. Would you guys all please join me as we pledge allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Alrighty, thank you. If we could go back to the agenda. Thank you, Dr. Marinucci. As a board, before we get into the nuts and bolts of our agenda, I'll just remind everyone, we're going to move as expeditiously as possible. Mrs. Robinson will have to jump off, but in order that we maintain a quorum, we'll probably try to get the meeting done by 6:30. I want to welcome Dr. Marinucci back, although I yelled at her at our CBOC meeting. She just couldn't stay away.
No, I couldn't.
But even though she was home for a while, I won't call it bed rest because she never rested. we have succeeded in adding or expanding our school under her leadership. I think you guys will all be happy when you hear the budget report. And while she was gone, the school was in excellent hands. Mr. Hudson and Mr. Jones, in your stead, did a great job. They led our board meeting last month, and we look forward to working with them in the future in a more hands-on with duties to the board. So with that, I will now, everybody should have had a look at the minutes from the March 25th board meeting. I'll entertain a motion to approve them once, if there are no questions, with any necessary edits or comments.
So move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Bishop Thomas, seconded by Mrs. Robinson and Dr. Fletcher, that we accept the March 25th, 2021 meeting minutes with any necessary edits or comments. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty, the motion passes. I'll now stop for any public comments. I don't know if any board members would like to say anything or if there's anybody else on the call that would like to make any statements at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll now move down to the financial report. Everybody does have a copy of the report in their email, but you can also reference the shared screen from Dr. Marinucci. I'm going to mute myself while you're talking, Dr. Marinucci.
Okay. So we're going to start with a high-level view of the web report first. What you will see is, and just for reference, we are 75% through the fiscal year at this time. So that's your target number, 75%. So as far as our state funds, we have received all of the state funds that we anticipate receiving at this point. And you can see that the numbers, you can see the total at the bottom of that section. And then as far as the local funds go, we do still expect to receive, we've got in our budget $26,967. I know we did receive a check for, I think, about $23,000 that was just recently deposited. So I think our estimated budget of $100,000 that we put forth is pretty accurate. We may end up receiving a little bit beyond that just because of the amount of money that we're just receiving, and I anticipate that we'll have at least one more receipt after that. The places where you see the negative numbers mean that we have received more than we anticipated receiving in that budget line. So negative in this case is a good thing. That shows you our local funds. And then the federal funds is the place where that is going to change one more time before this fiscal year ends. So if you remember at the last budget report where I provided the little video presentation, it showed that we had received our charter expansion grant funds in the amount of the $750,000. And then we had the ESSER II funds listed, but we had not yet received those funds. We've now received them. We also received word that we will be receiving another $1.5 million in ESSER's funds. So we will have, there's a third round coming. So we are working on the budget and the application to show how we'll spend that amount of money. So our fiscal picture just continues to get brighter. So then if you look down below that, you will see the operating budget description, those 14 lines, and it basically shows you the overview of how much we've got approved for the budget in each of the areas, how much we've expended, and what the balance is. Again, the target number is 75%. We're 75% through the year, and as you can see when you look at this, the only place that we're a little over the 75% is in the other expenses line. And part of that is that we paid the auditors in full. We paid the insurance in full. So there were one-time payments that were made, which ends up putting it where it looks like we've spent more a higher percentage of our budget. But that's because there were some one-time payments. And then what you'll see is we are actually only at 49.3% of our total operating budget expended at this time, even though we're 75% through the year. So does anyone have any questions on that? Okay. And moving on. So this is that one page look where it really gives you even more detail. So the exact same items as is in the web report show up in the first few columns. So the description, the budget, the receipts to date, the percent received is all what we just went over. But then when we go over to the farther right side, you'll see where it has the available funds, but then it has any money that we've got encumbered, any money that we've already spent, the percent we've spent, as well as the balance and the end date. So what we're doing now is we're at the point in the year where we're looking at anything that's about to, by chance, go away. And we're looking at especially our federal funds that we know are ending. We're just spending out that last little bit, recoding things here and there, making sure, obviously, that it's an allowable recode, but looking at making sure that we're making the best use of our funds as we're doing that. So we do have some money encumbered in the way of we've got payments made for transportation. We've got some money that we've got encumbered for some technology purchases and things like that. So that's all moving around, and it'll show as an expenditure for the next time. But in all of our areas, we're doing really well on the amount of money that we've received versus how much we've expended at this time. Below that, you'll see the same chart that you saw on the last page. Does anyone have any questions on this piece? Okay, then I'm going to go into the more nuts and bolts of what we've spent in what area. So this breaks down the account codes. It shows basically the only two places that we are over the 75% expended in the salary line are those two one-time payments, the vacation and sick leave payout that we had for Ms. Longo when she retired. And then, so you can see where we're doing very well on our budget in all of these other areas. The other employment costs is a straight percentage of, so in the salary line, when we're talking pensions, we pay 22.95% of whatever we're paying salary-wise. So that's just an easy calculation to do. So we've got that stayed pretty much in line with the salary line, which it should. And then when we go down to our contracted services, there's one place where we're well over, and that's in computer services. But we're actually, we had an account code change that we needed to make because it was actually not a contracted service. It was a supplies and materials charge. So it really belongs down in the next section that we'll look at. So that's why that budgeted line looks off. It's really not off. It's really on what we've expected it to be. Another one that I want to point out is advertising. So I know that we sent an email to all of you showing you the commercial, the video that we had made of the Academy, which was a really awesome process. And that video is on the Kent County page. It's also City of Dover. It's also on Milford. It's also on Smyrna. It's on all the local pages. So our advertisement is out there for all to see. In addition, it's on our Facebook page, it's on our website, and it's being shared out as widely as we can, just to spread the word about all the amazing things we have going on here. So that was the increase in the cost for advertising this year. But again, on the contracted services line, we're still at 73.8% expended. So we're still under the 75%, but we're closer to the 75% there. On the supplies and materials, in there, we're overall 43%. You are going to see some more expended on the computer supplies coming up. One of those items will be what we recoded because we purchased additional Chromebooks for the students. So that's sitting in the one place and it needs to be under computer supplies. But we also have purchased new smart boards for all of our classrooms. So you're going to see that expense coming up. You're going to see some larger expenditures happening in that way where we're upgrading and increasing the technology that we have for our staff to reach our students. And so that's coming, and that's part of the use of the ESSER funds that we have now. It's also going to be part of the funds that we are about to receive. So we're going to write in for some more things so that we can upgrade our infrastructure and make sure that we're operating at the best level we can be operating based on the financial picture that we have. And then what you'll see down here is the unallocated. That number has gone down significantly from what it looked like at the last board meeting. At the last board meeting, we had just received those funds, and I didn't have time to actually allocate in the Excel spreadsheet where all the money was actually supposed to go. So in actuality, we at this point have the $478,000 in unallocated, and then we have a contingency reserve still of the $712,629.39. So based on the budget and the way we're operating, we anticipate that contingency reserve will stay at a higher level than it's been in a long time, if ever. I'm not sure, but it's going to. We're anticipating ending the year with a number similar to the one you're seeing on this report. Looking down a little further, again, you see that same chart. I like to have that chart right in front of me as a summary on each of the three reports when I look at them separately. So I just keep them included as I print this. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay. I apologize. I was trying to unmute myself. All right. Thank you for the financial report, Dr. Marinucci. Barring no further questions, I'll now entertain a motion to approve the finances.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I second.
All right, it's been moved by Mrs. Comegy, seconded by Bishop Thomas, that we approve the financial report as of, and let me just, I apologize, I have my document.
As of March.
I'm sorry, thank you, as of March. 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, it has the motion carries. Dr. Marinucci will now move on to discuss the 21-22 school year calendar.
Which is crazy that we're saying that. That whenever I write those the years, I think it's just something else that we're already in the 21-22 school year calendar. The calendar, we had an actual committee come together and develop our calendar. And our calendar actually looks pretty similar to the one that we are operating with this year. This year's calendar has been, I think, has gone really well. We've had a nice balance of the professional development days, as well as the half days, as well as the student learning time. So the proposed calendar is quite similar. We have 2 days at the beginning of the year for new staff professional development, and then we are front-loading our professional development at the start of the year, because that's really the time that our teachers need to have time in their classrooms to get set up, that we need to get them prepared on the curriculum we've got in place, that they need for planning and for working with their teams. There's so many things you do at the beginning of the school year that just made the most sense to have that be where the majority of our professional development took place. The way this works, we've got the regular holidays in there, and then we did come up with having the 2-week break at Christmas time for winter break, and then that still gets us where our last student day is June 9th. We're planning to have half days at the end of June, and then our teacher PD, end of the year PD is June 10th, and then that Monday the 13th is the last teacher day. So it's balanced. It has 180 student days, it has the 190 staff days, and it has either half days for afternoon professional development or whole professional development days balanced throughout the calendar.
All right, any members of the board have questions on the calendar? We'll
one
need
question.
Go ahead. I'll now recognize Dr. Fletcher.
On the professional development days, are they preset topics that you will go over, or are they sort of open?
So what we've done is we basically have we have a very open conversation flow with our staff. So we have weekly professional conversations where we meet with the staff just about every Wednesday. And so if there's a topic that definitely needs to be discussed, then we're discussing it. Now, for the start of the year professional development, there will absolutely be a set schedule of what we're doing. We want to make sure that there's good training on the math curriculum, on the ELA curriculum, on those kinds of things, on the whole academy culture, on the social emotional work with our students. So all of those types of things will definitely be covered. At the end of this year, we will be asking the staff for any other ideas of things that they think would be valuable. One of the other things that I like to do at the start of the school year is a look at data and a whole data review. So looking at our story and then paving our path forward. So I found that there's a lot of gain that comes from doing that, where we have those conversations. That was one of the things I did with the staff the first day that I was here, when the staff came back, was we looked at the story of the academy. So we looked at all different pictures of attendance, of discipline, of academics, and really looked at that and kind of identified some key focus areas and then grew from there. So I think keeping our eye on the our story, as well as our history, as well as our future, is definitely going to be something that we'll be focused on at the beginning of the year.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. Are there any other questions on the calendar before I entertain a motion to approve it? All right. Hearing no other questions, I will now entertain a motion to approve the 2021-2022 academic calendar for the Academy of Dover.
I move that the board approve the 2021-22 academic calendar as presented.
All right. It's been moved by Dr. Fletcher. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Been moved by Dr. Fletcher, seconded by Bishop Thomas and Mrs. Robinson, that we approve the 2021-22 academic calendar for the Academy of Dover. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Excuse me. We'll now move on to the principal's report. We have some exciting news to share. Michelle, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, super, super awesome. This past Thursday evening that the State Board approved our expansion request. I have been in regular contact with the owner of our building, and these are the actual drawings of the proposed new building. I will send you all the electronic copies so that you can actually look at probably a larger version than what you're able to see on your monitor. But in the proposed building, it has 8 classrooms. It has a couple of, they've got listed office spaces, but they're actually rather large spaces that would be used as smaller classroom spaces. So maybe a special ed pullout room or things like that. So the drawings of the building look awesome. We're super excited to see it actually be started. As far as where we are capacity-wise, we are really moving strongly there too. As of a few minutes ago, we've had 95 school choice applicants. It's actually over 100 because we've had other ones that have come in that haven't gone through the data service system. So we have 95 in data service center. What does that look like? So we were at 330 students capacity. We are now going to the 370, but we are allowed to go up to 5% over, which means our max number is really 389. We have, in looking at that, and looking at the 389 number, that allows us 26 spots for kindergarten. We have 54 applications. That allows us 26 more, sorry, beyond that which we've already received. So I'm not counting anyone that's already enrolled. As of now, I think we have we're at 36 students for kindergarten enrolled right now. So we've already filled the one classroom. We're more than halfway full with the second classroom, and we're looking at filling a third. We don't have any space for any first graders beyond that which we've already enrolled, but we have 10 more applications. For second grade, we have space for 5, and we have 6 applications. For third grade, we have space for 4, and we have 8 applications. Fourth and fifth and sixth grade, we were full based on the number of students that we currently have and that have committed to be here. So that puts us at planning classrooms. We're going to have 3 classrooms for every grade, K-4. And then we'll have the 2 classrooms for grades 5-7. So we've definitely grown, and we're continuing to grow. So I'm pretty confident. It's what's really telling to us, and that we're celebrating, is that the students that have come here because we were open 5 days a week are staying. They want what we are offering. So they love the environment, they love the curriculum, and they love what their children are getting from our academy. So we're keeping the kids that have come in, which is wonderful. And we're actually getting siblings of those children to come over. So it's been pretty wonderful. So we have started a new program, equine therapy. No children are riding horses. However, they are learning through horses. One of the things is you can't bully a horse. You can't push it around. It just does not work. So our students are having to learn ways of and learn strategies. There's an actual certified program. So this is not just some random person with a horse. There's an actual certified therapist as well as a certified equine specialist that come. They bring horses, and our kids love it. They started this past Friday, and they can't wait. They're so excited that tomorrow's Friday again. So if you're ever near the school and you want to come by and watch it, it's Friday mornings from 9 until 1. It's remarkable to see. Our staff is so excited. I think the staff was just as excited as the students. But they learn compassion, they learn empathy. There's a focus skill each week. So it's a pretty awesome program. I've seen it work before, and it's really, really awesome to see it work with our students. We have a musical, The Wizard of Oz, that will be happening on June 7th. We will be playing that live streamed, so that is something that, as a board, if you want to watch, we'll make sure you have the link. And we are doing a real graduation for our students in person, with families, for kindergartners, and for our sixth graders. That is going to be on June 8th. The sixth graders are actually going to have little shovels, and they can do the groundbreaking for their movement into the new building. So we're super excited about that event. So any board member that would like to be here, please let me know, because that would be wonderful. This week coming up is Teacher Appreciation Week. We have lots of really awesome things planned. We've partnered with the PTO on that, and they're doing amazing things. And we are about to start state testing in about a two-week period of time. So we're excited about what our students are going to show us that they've learned. We know that we've given more academic instruction this year than anyone else. So I don't think anyone can say they've given more than what we have. We started school first, and we've gone 5 days a week all along. So we're pretty excited to see what scores come from our state testing this year.
May I interrupt you? I'm sorry, Dr. Marinucci.
Yes.
I just want to make sure we don't have any more items to vote on. I know Mrs. Robinson needs to jump off.
No, we don't.
Okay, perfect. All right. So I just want to make sure, just in case. All right, continue. I apologize.
That was actually what I have.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, that's excellent. For the rest of the board members, if you haven't yet, watch the video. The advertisement that we have is phenomenal. You see the kids, even the social distancing. It's the closest thing I've seen to normal education, especially when you watch the news and see what other districts are struggling with. So the kids look happy. The morale of the faculty and the staff is up, and it's a really high quality production. For AOD. So take a moment, watch the video if you can, share it with anyone you may know. It's in our email. Great things are happening, and we are so happy that we were able to pull off the expansion, which was no easy feat. So kudos to Dr. Marinucci, the staff, and to the other board members. I know those of you who were able to attend, we appreciate your efforts as well. I will now move on to the teacher's report. Mrs.
Question?
Yes, go ahead, Doctor.
One question before you go.
Yes,
I do note that we're getting ready to go into the state testing. Mm-hmm. And I recall reading something about what the state test scores are going to show, considering that a lot of schools is sort of like a test on homeschooling and things like that. So
my
concern is, how will these particular scores impact our benchmark and things? We've gone through years at this academy where low scores have caused us to appear before the board and in our audit report. The scores are there. So what is the posture of the state that you know, or the posture of the academy concerning this upcoming state mandated testing?
So this state test is a little different. Not that it's a different test in any way, but there's a normal rule where you have to have 95% participation or you get dinged on that. And there's certain other things that you must do. That has been waived this year, because they know that there's so many schools. Most schools don't have the number of students that are in person as we have. So there's a challenge because you cannot use the state test for a student at home. They must come into the school, or else you must send a certified teacher to proctor the test in front of that child at their home. So the likelihood of that happening, if the child's at home, they're likely very concerned about the pandemic and not really interested in having strangers or people that aren't regular to come into the home come in. I think we're poised in a better position than most because we have had the amount of instruction we've had. So even no matter how we fare on the test, my expectation is that we will do better than the other schools around us. The majority of the schools around us have been given 2 days of instruction a week. We've given 5. We are actually we've stayed pacing-wise on the coverage of and the actual instruction of curriculum. So we have had many conversations with the staff that it's not just about saying it, it's about teaching it. So I don't want to just check a box and say, yes, I covered unit 1.3. I want to know, how did our kids do? Do we need to go over anything? Did they really learn the context? So, and that said, the staff has done an amazing job with that. So we've been able to, most of our teachers are at the end point of what they wanted to cover on the curriculum. We also have delayed when we start the test to kind of the end point of when we can. The test closes the end of this month, or the end of May, sorry. So we're testing the week of May 10th. So we're giving as much time for instruction as we can so that our students have the benefit of that. We're also doing some practice testing. So I think all of that is going to help us. I guess the answer will be what it will be when the test scores come back. It's definitely a difficult test. I have been part of administering it, and some of the questions that I've seen on like a fifth grade level test is something that when I was in school was more of a ninth or tenth grade concept. So it's definitely a challenging test, but we're pretty hopeful. We're also kind of giving pep talks to our students and really prompting them to do their best. So we will see when the scores come out, how everything plays out, but we're anticipating that we're going to do very well.
Just one more, and that's very good, and I appreciate the detail of the answer. I think my concern was more on the state side. How is the state going to utilize these scores, knowing what the reality on the ground is? I wouldn't expect you to know that up front.
Sure.
I would not want them to put us in a bad position, no matter how it comes out. We have expectations. You've done extraordinary in terms of teaching 5 days of things, but the test scores, the kids taking tests, the state evaluating those, are going to be the bottom line. And I was just curious is how the state is going to utilize this year's scores as opposed to how they use other year's scores.
I think they are going to be more lenient with the way they are using the scores overall because they have to realize the amount of instructional time that students have missed and the fact that there's a pandemic going on. And they've made mention of that. They haven't actually come out, to my knowledge, and said exactly what impact that will have. And we are up for our charter renewal this coming fall. So those scores are definitely going to be something that come into the conversation. So we realize here the importance of our students really showcasing all they can do.
Okay. You understand why I asked the question?
100%.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. Any other questions before we move on to the teacher's report? All right, Mrs. Cummings.
A lot of what I was going to say, Dr. Marinucci already said, so I'm just going to echo what she said about the equine therapy. That's new and exciting. We had our first time last Friday, and a lot of kids have been asking about, when do we get to see the horses? So they're excited about that. We're excited for them to have new and different experiences. Also with mentoring, we're towards the end of the year, so that's kind of like wrapping up. Well, paperwork side of it is anyway. We're still mentoring the newer teachers as much as we can, and talking to them and helping them out. Like, we're all a tight-knit group anyway. And then other than that, I just wanted to thank Mr. Hudson and Mr. Jones for doing an amazing job while Dr. Marinucci was out. They held down the fort, so to speak. So I just want to say thank you for that. But other than that, we're just hanging in and hanging on, like always. And I apologize I sound like this. It's allergies, I promise.
No problem. We appreciate you pushing through your allergies. And thank you for that report. I'll also...
Before you go, I'm full of questions today. Since I've been trapped in this house, so I got to ask some
questions. For you.
No problem.
Have we had any teachers that have refused to get vaccinated?
That I really can't speak on because it's a personal choice, and I don't know that we're pushing it. I don't know that we can really. Don't know.
well, then perhaps I need to reframe it. Has the state put forward any policy or the district or whatever with regards to teachers having to be vaccinated or what in terms of when we come back in the fall? I guess we've been here all along. So what's going to happen when all of them come back because vaccination has been made available? It's probably more so just like any other vaccination for the students and things that needed, I'm sure.
And I can jump in on that, Ms. Comegys.
Okay, I was going to go like this.
Yeah. there has been no discussion about requiring the vaccines across the state level.
Okay.
So there has been no discussion about that. And we did have some of our staff ask me at the beginning of all of this if they were going to be required because they were concerned. And I said that I had no desire to require somebody to do something they weren't comfortable with. So... I don't think with as much as is unknown, I will say that I chose to get vaccinated, but that doesn't mean that everyone is going to make that choice. So I think that this is a place where people have an option and then there's risks on either way. So, it's a personal decision. I know there's talk about, colleges and universities making that requirement, but that hasn't at all come into, that has not come into the K-12 side at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. Dr. Irwin is not here today, so we are going to table the PTO report until our next board meeting. Other than what's already been said, I don't have any additional announcements, but please, again, I'll implore all board members, if you know anyone who is looking for that option for grades 7 and 8, please let them know that we have room and we are taking applications. And please spread the video around to the best of your ability so that folks will know about what the good things that are happening. I promise when they see our classrooms, they see the kids and the teachers, I mean, it's nothing but a lot of bright faces and smiles. So spread the word. So thank you, everyone. Dr. Marinucci, we are glad you are on the mend.
You're
back at the helm. Mr. Hudson and Mr. Jones were great substitutes while you were out, even though you really didn't take a break. But I'll yell at you later about that. With that being said, any further announcements before I entertain a motion to adjourn? All right, I'll now entertain a motion to adjourn the April 29th, 2021 Board of Directors meeting.
So moved.
All right. It's been moved by Dr. Fletcher, seconded by Bishop Thomas, that we go off the record at 6:42 p.m. on April 29th, 2021. All in favor? All right. We are off the record. Thank you all. And thank you, Dr. Marinucci.